This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي أما بعد. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there's no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My sisters in Islam, I greet you all with the greetings of Islam, and I say to every single one of you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that had gathered us here today, to make us from amongst those who get together for the sake of Allah, to please Allah, to uphold the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to defend the honor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in particular during a time where you have some people under the name of freedom of speech and expression that want to come and dishonor the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but you can't dishonor someone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had honored. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had honored the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam and the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had honored you as a Muslim woman with your hijab, with your modesty, with your dress code. And today's topic, inshallah, will be about Muslim women dress code and what the Sharia, what Islam had told us regarding this matter, and how can we implement and uphold this in our lives. Now, obviously, I'm saying this as a man, but I have a responsibility and you have a responsibility, and sometimes we do have common responsibilities, or not sometimes, most of the times we have common responsibilities towards our deen and common responsibilities towards our faith, but from time to time, in different areas and domains, responsibilities sometimes do differ, given to the different gender and different responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made upon a man and had made upon a woman. And one of those responsibilities that we might differ in some areas is that dress code. That doesn't mean that a man doesn't have a dress code. Yes, there's a dress code for the man and there's a dress code for a woman. There's a dress code for a Muslim man and there's a dress code for a Muslim woman. But those dress codes might differ in some areas in the salah, outside the salah. And inshallah, this is one of the things that we want to cover today. And cover inshallah briefly about the Muslim woman dress code and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded her to wear and not to wear, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made mention. Keep in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created you as a human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that made us exist and coexist on the face of this earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that set the rules and laws of this world. And the rules and the laws of this world are the rules and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which as human beings, as Muslims, must abide by. And when I say the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, I understand that there are laws of the country and there are laws of states and there are laws that you have to follow. And Sharia, alhamdulillah, does not clash or conflict with those laws. On the contrary, alhamdulillah, Islam and the Sharia is there to contribute towards every single land and every single country, including the country that we live in here, Australia. But we as Muslims, we have a faith to uphold and we have a code of conduct that we must abide by. And that code of conduct is what the Sharia had outlined, what the Quran Kareem had made mention, what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had highlighted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wives to be modest in their clothing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the female believers to be modest in their actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, qul li azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'i al-mu'minina yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh, the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to your wives, say to your daughters, and say to the Muslim women and female believers, yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihin, for them to lower their garment, which means cover themselves. And inshallah, we'll be talking about that in detail. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, and say to the believing men for them to lower their gaze. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and say to the believing women for them to lower their gaze. And then Allah continues to say, وَيَحْفَظْنَا فُرُوجَهُنَّ, and for them to preserve their chastity. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهْرَ مِنْهَا, and for them not to expose what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for them not to expose their zina. And the zina he means, as the scholars had mentioned, their body. For them not to expose their body to strangers and to the public. And obviously, these sort of things that we'll be talking about in details, what does the Sharia, what does Islam mean from behind or imply when it comes to these verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made mention. But before we get into the details of the clothing, we need to remind ourselves that the Sharia came to perfect you as a human being. Islam came to perfect you as a man and a woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to perfect you as a human being living on the face of this earth, for you to live the best and the most beautiful, happiest life. So Islam here, Islam did not come to deprive you from living a beautiful life. On the contrary, Islam wants you to live a beautiful, happy life. And what Islam contributes to? Islam contributes to your happiness. Islam contributes to your happiness. Islam contributes to your happiness, whether it's through your salah, through your siyam, through your zakat, through your attending these lessons, through going to the masjid, through your hijab, through your garment, through your modesty. Islam is there to contribute to your comfort, to your happiness, to your contentment. Islam is not here to deprive you from happiness. So don't look at any of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a deprivation. Don't look at any of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a form of unhappiness. Don't look at it as sadness and discomfort. No, no, no. The Sharia is not there to discomfort you. The Sharia is not there to make you unhappy. The Sharia is not there to make you sad. The Sharia is there to contribute towards your happiness and your comfort. Even though from the outside, it might be perceived, it might be seen that this is uncomfortable, or this is sometimes boring, or this is sometimes sad, or this is sometimes uncomfortable. This is what you see from the outside. But the reality is, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordained and everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered is there to contribute to your happiness, is there to contribute to your comfort, is there to contribute to your contentment. Because that's one objective that every single human being on the face of this earth is striving towards. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mention of that. كُلُّ النَّاسِ يَغْدُو فَبَائِعُ النَّفْسَ فَمُعْتِقُهَا أَوْ مُوبِقُهَا. Every single human being is striving. And every single human being is working towards an objective. Every human being, and we're not talking about Muslims here. We're talking about Muslims and non-Muslims. People of faith and people of no faith. People that believe in God and people that don't believe in God. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that every single human being is striving towards what? Striving towards happiness. That's what every single human being wants. You wake up in the morning, and every person had woken up today in the morning and they've got one goal and objective in their mind. I want to be happy today. And that's where people start taking different paths and different roads for them to acquire happiness. People will take the path of the haram, and other people will take the path of the halal. And you take the path that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the end, every single person is striving towards one goal. And that goal is, I want to be happy at the end of the day. I want to be happy at the end of the day. I want to be content at the end of the day. I want to be satisfied at the end of the day. I want to feel comfortable at the end of the day. That's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كُلُّ النَّاسِ يَغْدُو. Every single human being is striving towards what? Is striving towards happiness. فَبَائِعُ النَّفْسَ فَمُعْتِقُهَا أَوْ مُوبِقُهَا. Some people sell themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and enslave themselves to Allah azza wa jal. Other people will sell themselves to the creation and enslave themselves to the creation. And when I say the creation, some people enslave themselves to the money. Other people enslave themselves to mankind. Other people enslave themselves to the haram. Other people enslave themselves to the opposite gender. Other people enslave themselves to this and enslave themselves to that. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that every single person is striving towards happiness. Every single human being. Today, the 7 billion human beings that we have on the face of this earth, every single one of them is striving towards one goal, and that's happiness. But unfortunately, most people don't acquire that goal at the end of the day. Why? Because a lot of those people do take the wrong path in achieving that goal. And the way that we can achieve that goal is through the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man amila salihan min dhakarin aw untha wa huwa mu'minun falyuhyina hayatan tayyibah." Whoever does a righteous deed from a male believer or a female believer will make them and grant them happiness. You want happiness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you happiness through righteous action. You want happiness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you happiness through Islam. You want happiness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you happiness through the salah. You want happiness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you through the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you happiness through the worship of Allah azza wa jal. You want happiness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also give you happiness through your modest clothing. Through your modest clothing, through your hijab, through your abaya, through your modest clothing. That you do that solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sincerely for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. So my sisters in Islam, Islam is there to contribute towards your happiness. Islam is there to take you to happiness. Islam wants you to be happy. Islam wants you to be satisfied. Islam wants you to be content. And every single ritual and every single worship that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and implement is there to contribute to your happiness. Even though from the outside, it might be looked at as boring or perceived as boring. Praying 5 times a day, making wudu, standing towards the Kaaba, and you know, taking away 5 or 10 minutes out of my valuable time, you might look at it as boring. Coming to the masjid, you might look at it as boring. Going to a class of knowledge, you might look at it as boring. Coming to the masjid, doing a lot of other rituals, a lot of the times we perceive it, and I'm talking about as Muslims here, a lot of the times we might perceive it as boring. But the reality is, it's not boring. It depends how you perceive it and how your heart is connected to it. Wearing the hijab and having a long abaya and having a long garment, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the sharia had commanded, you might look at it as boring, outdated, lagging behind. But that's not the reality. The sharia is there to contribute towards your happiness. The sharia is there to contribute towards your satisfaction. The sharia is there to contribute towards your contentment. And that also includes your modesty and your clothing. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِمْ. O Prophet of Allah, O the Prophet of Allah, tell your wives, your daughters, and the female believers for them to lower their garments, for them to cover up. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهُ. And for them not to show their body except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had allowed. And that's something that we'll be touching on bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Another factor that will contribute towards your happiness and success, my sister in Islam, is your modesty. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had mentioned in the hadith and many different hadiths that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks about modesty, haya. Where the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam says, haya, modesty is part of iman. It's part of your deen, part of your faith. When you are modest, shy in doing something wrong, saying something wrong, exposing what you should not be exposing. That's part of iman. It's part of iman, it's part of faith. When it's time for salah, you've got 10 people. You are one of those people that gets up and prays. And others who are Muslims, their names could be Fatima, Aisha, Khadija, Ahmad, Muhammad, Mahmud. They didn't get up. 10 Muslims are sitting down. You've got 1 or 2 people get up for the salah, and then the rest are not getting up for salah. What's the difference here? The difference is you've got iman. There's something called iman, a spiritual uplifting, faith, conviction that ignited you to get up and pray, motivated you to get up and pray. So iman pushes you forward. Iman helps you to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iman encourages you to do the right action. Al-haya min al-iman, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, shyness is part of iman. When you encounter something wrong and then you walk away from it, what helped you to walk away from something wrong, or what helped you to stop yourself from doing something wrong, or what helped you not to be wearing something that the sharia doesn't want you to be wearing, is iman. That haya, that modesty. Modesty helped you to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is to help you to do what's right? What is to help you to do the right thing? That doesn't mean someone that's not wearing the hijab doesn't have modesty. No, no, no. That doesn't mean that at all. But what helps you to do right? What helps you to move forward? What helps you to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is modesty. And that's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes modesty as part of your iman, as part of your faith. What makes you keep away from the haram while everyone else is doing it out in the open is modesty, haya. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. The moment you lose modesty, go and do whatever you want. What makes people do whatever they want, whether it's right or wrong, whether it's a taboo or extremely a bad thing, that you see out in the open, how many people do things that you look and say, like, you know, doesn't this person, isn't this person embarrassed or shy? Aren't they ashamed of themselves? There's no embarrassment? Yes, there's no embarrassment. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. If you are not shy and you don't have modesty and you don't have an embarrassment in your life, then go and do whatever you want. Nothing is stopping you from doing what you want. What's making people do whatever they want, even if it's wrong, even if it's wrong in society, even if it's unacceptable, even if it's rejected, what's making people do that? No modesty. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you are not modest, you do whatever you want. But when you have modesty, then you hold yourself back. You contain yourself, you control yourself. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considers modesty as iman, part of piety, part of righteousness. And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to see Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, he used to be modest, shy in their dealings, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to commend them. But obviously there's a balance when it comes to shyness here. Like, you shouldn't be shy in an area we shouldn't be shy in. You shouldn't be, wallahi, embarrassed in an area. I shouldn't be embarrassed on my deen, for example, or shy to say I'm a Muslim, or look like a Muslim. This is the unfortunate thing, that some people are becoming even embarrassed in areas that they shouldn't be embarrassed in. This is not an area of shyness. This is not an area of embarrassment. There are areas where you need to take pride in. You need to have a strong stance. But there are areas also where you need to be shy and modest. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes shyness and modesty as part of iman, part of faith, part of taqwa, part of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because what's going to help you to keep away from the haram is your modesty. What's going to entice you to commit the haram is no modesty. What's going to motivate you to keep away from the haram is modesty. What's going to keep you away from the haram is your shyness. What's going to encourage you to commit the haram is no shyness or modesty. And that's why modesty plays a huge role and a big part in your life as a believer. Modesty, haya, plays a huge role in your life as a believer. It plays a big part in your life as a believer. And it plays a big part in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to be modest, of course, when it comes to Allah azza wa jalla. You need to be shy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even speaks to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't be shy from the creation of Allah before you are shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu ahaqqa an yustahya min, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Quran al-Kareem. Allah has more rights over you that you are shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone else. You are embarrassed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone else. Because sometimes we are embarrassed from the creation of Allah. We are shy from the human beings. I'm embarrassed, I'm shy, and I've got modesty in front of this person and that person, which is a good thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But at the same time, I should also be shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I'm embarrassed to do something wrong in front of the creation of Allah, then I should be more embarrassed in committing or doing something wrong in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many times we stop ourselves in committing the haram or committing something wrong because people are watching us? But then when it comes between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, we commit it. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah has more rights over you for you to be embarrassed from Him than the rest of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are shy from Him and her, you should be shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are embarrassed from Him and her, you should be embarrassed from Allah azza wa jalla. So shyness And modesty is a good trait. It's a good quality that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had commended, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had encouraged for us to increase our shyness. And to the extent that once the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in his house, and Aisha was there, she was observant. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a number of guests walking in, and he had part of his thigh uncovered. Abu Bakr walked in, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not cover it. Umar ibn Khattab walked in, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't cover it. When Uthman bin Affan, who's the son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who got married to two daughters of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam in two separate times, when he walked in, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam covered his thigh. So Aisha says, "O Messenger of Allah, I was watchful and observant of what just happened. Abu Bakr walked in, he did not cover your thigh. Umar walked in, he did not cover your thigh. When Uthman walked in, he covered your thigh." So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Shouldn't I be shy of someone in which the angels are shy from?" That's Uthman bin Affan. A modest man, but he was brave at the same time. A modest man, but he was courageous at the same time. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very modest too. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was described as one of the most modest and respectful people you could ever come across. That's Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So modesty is part of my faith. When modesty starts to decline, decrease, or diminish, then you pave your way to start committing what's wrong. You start committing the haram. You start paving the way for the haram. That's why I need to preserve my modesty. For that, the Islamic dress code for both men and women contributes towards enhancing your modesty. I'm going to repeat this. The Islamic dress code contributes towards strengthening, enhancing, empowering your modesty. Because when you strengthen the engine called modesty, then you strengthen your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the rest of the actions become stronger. When your engine or the power of modesty is weak, then that will pave the way for you to start committing the wrong things and do the wrong. That's why the Sharia emphasizes a lot on modesty. Be modest. Be respectful. And modesty and respectfulness to yourself, to your family, to the people around you, to every person. That's what Islam talks about. And that's why modesty contributes to your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And your dress code contributes to your modesty. Your dress code contributes to your modesty. So the dress code is not there. Okay, you have to be wearing this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be wearing this. Just not, that's it. Or you have to be covering because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just wants you to do that. Yes, we adhere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command, whether we understand it or not. We're still going to adhere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command, and we're still going to surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders. But at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded, and Allah Azza had ordered commands and ordained orders upon us for the best interest of us as human beings. And your dress code will contribute towards your modesty, because when you are modest in your dress code, then your modesty becomes stronger, and then your modesty becomes stronger in your iman and faith. For that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in the Quran al-Kareem. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set boundaries. Allah had set boundaries. These are the boundaries that you need to live by. These are the boundaries that you need to surround yourself. Do not transgress or surpass those boundaries. Because the moment you do, you start breaking down your modesty, and then you start having the way for you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes these boundaries like a fence of your farm. Imagine you've got a herd of sheep, and you've got a fence. The fence that you've got on your farm stops the herd, or stops the sheep from going to the next door neighbor's land. If there's no fence, how's this sheep going to know that this is the boundary? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives that analogy, or gives that parable of preserving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command in your life by having that boundary that you prevent your herd from going to your neighbor's next door, or your next door neighbor's farm. But if there's no fence, then everything is open. you need to start building up those barriers that prevent you from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that blocks the haram away from your life. And one of those barriers, one of those fences is your garment, your dress code. And when I say that, yes, I know that Islamically the dress code of a woman is more stricter. It's stricter than a man. It's understandable. I know where you're coming from. But this is part of the fence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to preserve you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to safeguard you. Allah wants to safeguard me as a man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to safeguard you as a woman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to safeguard us as a society. And it comes down to modest clothing. Modest clothing, which men and women have in common. Men and women have in common. And the modest clothing that men and women have in common is that both men and women must be covered and cover their awrah. Cover their awrah. And we all know the word awrah, which is what Islam constitutes to be the Islamic definition and understanding of a private part. I know when we say that, and I'm sorry to say it, we understand it in a general connotation. But Islamically, the word awrah is different to what we have, to different to our general understanding. The awrah of a man is from the belly button to the knees. The awrah of a woman in front of strangers is all of her except the face and the hands up to the wrist. The awrah of a man in front of strangers is from the belly button, from the navel to the knees. The awrah of a woman in front of strangers is all of her except the face and the hands up to the wrist. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Asma, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't too happy with the material of clothing that she was wearing, so the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, or Asma, that moment that a woman reaches the age of puberty, she must be covered except, and then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed at his face, except the face and the hands up to the wrist. So the awrah of a woman is all of her. When we say awrah of a woman, in front of strangers. And when we say strangers, specifically in front of men that she can get married to, that we call them non-mahram men. Non-mahram men, which does not include her husband. In front of a woman is different. Her awrah becomes less strict. Women in front of women. But that's not the primary topic that we'll be talking about today. We'll be talking about headdress code. So awrah of a woman, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, all of her except the face and the hands up to the wrist. Maybe some will ask, okay, what about the niqab? Yes, the niqab means covering the face, the veil, which is part of the deen. But it's a debatable topic amongst the scholars. Is it fa or is it sunnah? You have to be covering your face or you don't have to be covering your face. I believe that the majority of the scholars say it's sunnah to cover the face, which means it's not obligatory to cover it. It's recommended that you cover it. If you don't cover it, you're not sinful. You're not a sinner. However, covering the head, for example, is fard. And there's no doubt. There's no debate on that one. It is fard for a Muslim woman, once she reaches the age of puberty, and obviously the Sharia encourages, before she even reaches the age of puberty, for her to be trained on wearing the hijab. So once she reaches the age of puberty, she must be covering the head. And there's no debate on this one. Niqab, yes, there is a debate on the niqab, whether it's fard or sunnah. It's part of the deen, but is it fard or is it sunnah? But when it comes to hijab, there's no debate here. There's no debate. And unfortunately, in this day and age, and in particular in the last few years, you've got Muslims who are trying to ignore that debate. Ignore the debate, not on the niqab. Niqab, we understand it's debatable, whether it's fard or sunnah. But now you've got the debate on the hijab. Is it fard or sunnah? No, no, no. There's no debate when it comes to the hijab. There's no debate. The Sharia is very explicit and clear over the hijab. The hijab, which is covering the head, not covering the face. As I mentioned, that's debatable and understandable. But covering the head is no debate. The Sharia made it very clear that a Muslim woman must cover her head, which what we call as the hijab. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that very clear also in the Quran Kareem, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُورِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ. Let them cover their headscarf and cover their necks. It's very clear in the Quran al-Kareem. And it's very clear through the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And none of the scholars in the past had ever debated the topic of the hijab, whether it's fard or sunnah. It's always been fard. Now, you are wearing it or not, that's a different topic. But you believe it's fard, you are wearing it, you get rewards. You believe it's fard, you're not wearing it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, will give you the ability for you to wear it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that. But to deny it is an issue. To deny that the wearing the hijab is fard, no, it's a major issue. So going back to the point that we're talking about, that both men and women have something in common when it comes to their dress code. Both must be wearing modest clothing that covers their awrah. That's one. Both must be wearing garments that do not expose the body parts. And I'm sorry to be explicit, you can't be wearing something tight. And this also applies for men. You can't be wearing, wallahi, some of our brothers sometimes are wearing jeans that you could see the figure of their thighs or you could see the figure of their legs. You have to be wearing baggy clothes, loose clothes that does not make or show the body of a man or a woman. Both men and women must be wearing clothes which are non-transparent, non-see-through. You can't be wearing, inshallah, abaya and you can see the skin. And this applies for both men and women. So the clothes and the type of clothes that we are wearing, it must be modest, covering the awrah. It must be loose, not tight, and it must be non-transparent, that you can't see through the garment, the color of the skin, or you could see the feature of the skin. These are common things that both men and women share. Now, as I mentioned, when it comes to covering the awrah of a man is different to the awrah of a woman from strangers. When it comes to our sisters, when it comes to a Muslim woman, her awrah is all of her except the face and the hands up to the wrist. Which means that her dress code must be covering from top to bottom except the face and the hand wrist. Now, how she covers that, as long as she covers that with a garment that's non-tight, which means it's loose, non-transparent, which means you can't see through it, and respectful, modest garment. What you wear, it's up to you. There's no specific color. We don't have this thing in the Sharia, oh, women must be wearing black. Or when they go to Hajj, have to be wearing white. Or in Sydney, they have to have, you know, dark color from the top and light color from the bottom. Oh, wallahi, it's up to you what you wear. There's no specification in the Sharia what color garment you are wearing. As long as it's modest, it's loose, it's non-transparent, and it's respectful. When I say modest and respectful, you could be wearing abaya from top to bottom, but the abaya has got so many colors and so much confusion in it that when sister walks, the entire world's just watching. Yes, we are human beings, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to look good. It doesn't mean Allah, you don't look good. You have to be Allah very. No, it's up to you. But there's a balance. There's always a balance. And this applies for both men and women. There's got to be a balance. You can't go too drastic with the colors of your clothes to the extent that it becomes too noticeable that you force everyone to look. No, no. You have to always strike a balance. And subhanAllah, balance not only in clothing, in everything that we do in life, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even says, when you spend, don't be tight, don't be too much in your spending. Strike a balance. Everything comes into balance. And you know what the Sharia also refers to balance? Modesty. Modesty. The Sharia refers to modesty as balance. Balance in your dealings. Balance in your expenditure. In your spending. Balance in your interaction. Balance in your clothing, even to the extent the Sharia even wants you to have balance in your ibadah. That's not away for the entire not reading the Quran al-Kareem and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's no balance. Or fast every single day. We're talking about this ibadah. That's no balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants moderation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants balance. Balance in everything that you do. In your salah, in your siyam, in your zakat, in your wealth, in spending your wealth, in your manners, in your morals, in your clothing.
just have strike balance. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, wherever you find moderation and balance in anything, will be successful, will be good, beneficial. You need to strike balance. Have a balanced way of life and everything that you do in life. That also includes your clothing. So in a general sense, the Sharia commands a Muslim woman to be covered from top to bottom, except the face and the hands up to the wrist. Given that it's covering the awra, and that's what we spoke about, it's non-tight, so it's loose, it's non-transparent, which means you can't see what's behind the garment, and it's modest, it's balanced, it's respectful. It's something that not too excessive to the extent that, as I mentioned, too attractive to the extent that it forces people to look and gaze and, you know, focus too much on who's walking, who's coming. We need to have a modest society where people respect. She walks and people respect that there's a woman walking. He walks and people also respect him that he's walking. There's got to be that respect between everyone, between men, women, and everyone. That's what the Sharia is about, making sure that there's a balanced society where people have modesty and respect amongst each other in every single interaction. Islam is not saying we want this woman to be in a box or to be locked up at home. No, no, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you freedom. And Allah is giving my freedom. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be happy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to be happy. But there's got to be a balance. There's got to be a balance. And the Islamic dress code is part of that balance in life. Part of that balance in life is for you to be respectfully modest in your garment, in your clothing, in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased from. And I know, subhanAllah, look, I'm saying that as a man, and I know it's a lot more difficult and challenging for our sisters to be wearing the hijab as opposed to a man. I'm not wearing the hijab. I could be wearing like everyone else and I blend with everyone else. Yes, I know it's more challenging for you. But because it's more challenging for you, it means it's more rewarding for you too. Because it's more challenging for you, it means it's more rewarding for you. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear in the Quran al-Kareem, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honorable one to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most. Not because you're a man or a woman, or because you're black or white, or because you're an Arab or non-Arab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set the record straight from the very beginning. Then the most honorable one to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most. So you could be a woman, and you are the most honorable one to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than any other man. You could be from any background. You could be white or black. You could be Asian or African. You could be poor. You could be whoever it is. What's going to get you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your piety, righteousness, and modesty. And that's why the Sharia came again to contribute towards your happiness. And I say it one more time, my sister in Islam, the hijab, the garment that you are wearing, that sometimes makes you look different than everyone else. It's there to contribute to your happiness. It's there to contribute to your safety. It's there to contribute to your contentment. It's there to contribute to your comfort. Even though from the outside, it might be perceived as uncomfortable, unsafe, not that content in wearing it, but at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered you to do that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's best for you. Like exactly when he told your son sometimes, or your daughter, this is what's best for you. Going to school is best for you. Every single one of us growing up, every single one of us had one wish when we were growing up. I can't wait for that moment that my parents take me out of school. I'm a dropout. We think that's best for us. Going to school, I still remember when my mom told me to go to school, I wish I could be young and go to school. I used to say, what's going on with it? Now I'm saying the same thing to my kid. A lot of things when you're young, your parents might tell you to do something or not to do something, you turn around and say, why are they depriving me from something that I want to do? But then later on, you realize what's best for you. Sometimes in life, we'll do things or we might see things or we look into Islam or understand Islam in a way that, you know, why is Islam imposing this on me? I feel uncomfortable with it. But the reality is that's where your comfort. I'm unhappy with it, but the reality is that's where your happiness. I'm discontent with it, but the reality is that's where your contentment is. I feel uncomfortable with it, but the reality is that's where your comfort is. So the Sharia came to contribute towards your happiness, comfort, contentment, and safety. And part of that is your modest clothing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He descended Adam and Hawa to earth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. And Allah commanded them to cover up. And one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the famous story in the Quran al-Kareem, that when Adam and Hawa ate from the tree, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them. What was the punishment? Allah exposed their awrah. Allah exposed their awrah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, Adam and Hawa start to grip the leaves of the tree and cover their awrah. Which means what? That's how Allah created you, to be modest from the very beginning. For you not to expose your awrah. Unfortunately, we live in a day and age where some people boast about exposing the awrah. And they want to normalize this. But the reality is, what's normal is what Adam and Hawa had started off. It's for you to be covered, not to be uncovered. We live in a day and age which is very challenging. What we see or what we believe is wrong is trying to become, or it's being pushed to be normal. Normalizing what's not normal. Normalizing what we believe is haram. Normalizing what we believe is unacceptable. And subhanAllah, what's acceptable is becoming abnormal. What's unacceptable is becoming the normal. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks of this 1,400 years ago, in which alayhi salatu wasallam makes mention that there will come a time where the honest will be dishonest, and the dishonest will be honest. Truth will be falsehood. Falsehood will be truth. And people will be confused. Like, you know, what's the norm here? And subhanAllah, we could see that. People are becoming, what's the norm? What's the norm? Is the norm to be modest, covered, or uncovered? What's the norm? Hijab or not hijab? What's the norm? Is this right or this wrong? People are becoming confused. People are becoming confused in their sexuality. You've got kids these days are confused. People are becoming confused in their clothing. People are becoming confused in their customs, in their dealings, in their interactions. But at the end of the day, alhamdulillah, we have something called Islam for us to resort to, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already said and highlighted what's right and wrong, what's normal and what's not normal. Even if society is pushing for something to be normal when it's not normal, I've got the sharia that tells me this is haram. This is not acceptable. And that's why, alhamdulillah, we pride ourselves in being Muslim. And you should be proud that you're a Muslim, alhamdulillah. And you should take pride in being a Muslim that practices their religion. In your hijab, in your garment, in covering up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your modesty, even if society or other people might look at you in a way and say, oh, that's not normal. Well, at the end of the day, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased from me, I'm 100% comfortable to say that it's normal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to be pleased from something that's not normal. And therefore, my sisters in Islam, alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Islam, practicing Islam, following Islam, and act upon Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us all, protect us, and make us from amongst those who listen and hear, act upon and listen and hear. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. I'm supposed to be saying that, maybe. Okay. Now, we're away from life.